coming in with Jaden's music. We are here with Ben Stanger.
Stanger.
Cool.
Stanger. Just a, like stranger, but Stanger. I don't know if that helps. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. All right.
Sorry about that.
Would you be able to further kind of? Well, I didn't introduce you. Ben is creating a compost company called Green Box Compost, and you're also a West High School graduate as well. So that's very local. Yeah. Would you like to introduce yourself further?
Yeah, those are both true. I'm from the Madison area, born and raised, and I'm starting a compost company here in the Madison area. Besides that, I went to school in Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois. Moved to Chicago for about 5 years, and yeah, now I'm back here and working on the compost company.
Cool. How did you kind of get into compost and start your company?
Yeah, so it sounds a little bit cheesy, but my family has always composted, and like when I was younger, me and my dad always talk about it. It seems crazy that more people don't do this. It's kind of like a no-brainer solution. Mm-hmm. And eventually got to thinking about, like, can this be a business? I don't know. And this was maybe in, like, I might have been middle school or high school, so like 06 to 09 or something like that. And then we're like, I don't think there's any way that could work. And then went to school, moved to Chicago. I started working at like a green home building company. I was very interested in sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I was at a farmer's market and I saw this this van of a compost company. I was like, oh, that's actually happening here. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I just decided to reach out to them and see if they needed help doing anything. And I started working there for about 2 years. And over that time, I just kept looking back at Madison and thinking, this should be happening here. Like, just like it's the right place. The people are interested. They've they've had those trial runs before.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, over the pandemic, I got stir crazy enough to to give it a shot. And so now, yeah, I'm here in Madison trying to make it work.
Yeah, that's really interesting too, because I think composting is thought of as like kind of on an individual level and not really as a company. So that's interesting too.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that the big thing that I saw in Chicago was that there are a lot of people who want to do it and just more generally want to have a positive impact on the environment, but like not owning your home or not having the time or whatever it is. Like, people are well-meaning, but don't, either don't have like the ability or the energy to do it. And so that's where a place like a company like my company Greenbox comes in, because we can centralize all that, give people opportunity, and at the same time do it really efficiently, so that it's able to get a lot of those economies of scale that make it more possible and more fruitful for the people that are taking part in it. So that's cool.
Yeah, it definitely helps to give more opportunity for people to compost. What is kind of the process, like the behind the scenes of the whole process?
Yeah, so I mean, there's kind of two behind the scenes. One is like what members experience, and one is kind of what actually happens, you know, to the compost. And so for what members experience, what we're trying to do is really drive the adoption of composting by making it super clean, super easy, super simple. And so that's kind of the name of the game. So as far as people composting through our program, you just get a green box, a green bucket from Green Box Compost. You have it for 2 weeks. You fill it up with all your food scraps. Anything that was once organic, once living, can go in there. So anything from, you know, carrots and potatoes and apples to bones, meat, soiled paper products, stuff like that can all go in there. And then every 2 weeks we come by. We have electric vans. That's one of the other things we're trying to do, is be zero emissions. And we pick up the compost or the organics and bring it back to our warehouse. And so from the member point of view, it's super simple. And that's all you have to think about. When it comes back to us, we have an in-vessel aerobic composting system, which basically agitates the organic matter, forces air into it, turns it around a bunch, and then because we have such a large mass and we're getting enough of the oxygen in there, it takes what would take normally a few months, takes 12 days in our system. It gets shot at the other end and then it cures for a month. And then once it cures, it's ready to be used for whatever. Yeah. It's high quality soil.
That's really interesting too. Like the process and everything. I know I was kind of learning a little bit about like InVessel, but what is
InVessel? Yeah. I've been doing this for long enough that I forget that everybody doesn't have, nobody thinks about this as nearly as much as I do. So InVessel, so there's kind of two ways to break down organic matter for the most part. It's mm-hmm. aerobic and anaerobic. Okay. And aerobic just means with oxygen, anaerobic means without.
Okay.
The way that a few places in the city had been trying to get rid of their organics was anaerobic in a digester in the vicinity, but they stopped taking food scraps. And so that's kind of let anybody, left everybody trying to scrambling for something to do with their organics. What I do is aerobic, so with oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, InVessel just means inside of a big container, big vessel. Mm-hmm. Whereas otherwise, people just put it in a pile and turn it periodically, or put it in a pile and have like aeration underneath. Mm-hmm. This is just constantly churning it to speed up that process a lot.
Okay, so it's a faster process then.
Yeah, it's faster. The downside and the reason people don't often use it is that it's a little bit more expensive to get set up.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure the demand here is enough, and that people kind of want to see. I mean, we're trying to recast composting as like a forward-looking kind of more, you know, like a clean, efficient process that's kind mm-hmm. of a no-brainer for cities to adopt as a means of kind of lowering right. their, you know, their footprint in kind of whatever metric you want, from greenhouse gases to you know, landfills like you dealt with. There's a lot of reasons for this to happen. I think that like kind of showing this like more tech forward approach will really help drive adoption in a place like Madison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What has been your experience with the city and the county?
Yeah. So for the most part, really good. One of the first calls I made was to the city recycling coordinator.
Mm-hmm. That's in the city.
Yeah, in Madison.
Madison.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
I wasn't sure because there's some prayer too.
Oh, yes. I guess I forget. Most of what I've been dealing with has been Madison. Actually, okay. That's not entirely true. So as far as Madison goes, they're very supportive, if a little bit, I think, hesitant, just because mm-hmm. I didn't have a huge track record. You know, I'm fairly young. I don't have a lot of, you know, anything to stand on. I just had this idea and I want this kind of work. I have worked in the industry, but it's also like a very nascent kind of... it's still not widely recognized in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. And so, you know, excited, but, you know, tentative, I think, was kind of their feeling. The county, I've spoken very kind of briefly with the director of the landfill. I think it's Dane County Renewables or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember mm-hmm. exactly. And they're also, I think, cautiously optimistic about this. Mm-hmm. And they have plans to kind of start some composting on their site as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been cool. But I think the most positive kind of reaction I had was actually in Sun Prairie. Because one of the biggest issues I had was being unable to find zoning that allowed for food scraps composting.
Right.
And so kind of like fighting through that in the Madison area was really difficult. And that was like the first several months, I mean... probably first half a year that I was in Madison, I was just trying to shop around the idea and see who was actually willing to mm-hmm. to let this go forward. Sun Prairie was super supportive, and they had just hired a sustainability coordinator, so like, yeah, we really okay. want to highlight this.
Yeah.
And they kind of thought it'd be a good idea for me to kind of suggest an ordinance change for the city mm-hmm. of Sun Prairie. So we got that to pass through both their zoning committee and their city council unanimously, which is really cool. And so that was like a really good mile marker for me, because I felt like, okay, like an actual like established institution has really signed off on this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so then from then it's kind of just like picked up momentum in a really good way. So
mm-hmm. are zoning codes often like kind of a roadblock for composting?
Yeah, I think they're probably one of the biggest. I mean, for me it was the first barrier, and I think a lot of places, you know, their zoning codes were usually written a while ago for whatever. And like often, you know, people, they'll be like they'll revise them wholesale, but usually it's through process that I went through, mm-hmm. like a citizen, or, you know, just like some private individual trying to, pass some ordinance change.
Mm-hmm.
So generally I think they're pretty conservative. They're based on, you know, several years, if not decades, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's usually a pretty big obstacle, along with just general like public misconceptions and lack of knowledge. I mean, there are some, you know, for sure, poorly run composting operations that cause nuisances, but for the most part, people really want to do it in a positive way because they care about, I mean, usually there's some aspect of sustainability or environmental stewardship going on, and so they usually they want to give it a good name. That's not always the case, but I think generally it's true. And so just like a big part of what I'm trying to do is an educational piece as well, to show that, again, like composting isn't gross or smelly or bad or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's basically all upside. I mean, I think that those two things, misconception and kind of, I mean, just all around, you know, something mm-hmm. that kind of is an obstacle. And that's something that a lot of people want to cure. But I think that's one of the things I want to highlight as well, is just kind of like showing that this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, I'm trying to give tours of my facility to people to make it like not be a black box where stuff happens. It's like, I want to be transparent about everything I do.
Yeah, that makes sense too. And that's a great mission as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the things that, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but just in general, like with composting, I know that the city often talks about like contamination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of one of the things that I think people think of too, like with composting. What, I guess, like how do you kind of work around that, or just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think contamination is probably another really big roadblock that mm-hmm. Compost operations run into.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I'm fortunate with right now that the city has had to contend with, you know, the city was doing stuff for free, and they had mm-hmm. a limited scope of what they could accept based on a few things, but mostly the way that they're handling the organics.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing, number one, people are spending money to try and do the right thing. So generally they're very motivated
mm-hmm.
to make sure that there isn't contamination. And so if there is, it's usually from like the like wish cycling, you know, that they really hope this thing is compostable, but then it's not.
oh dear.
But that's usually easier to fix than people who just don't care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It usually just takes an email. The other side is that the way that I'm composting is very forgiving of contamination, because it's a fairly, I mean, despite being very efficient and very high capacity, it's still fairly low tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I can basically sort out most contamination at the end when everything is homogeneous, mm-hmm. except for something that didn't break down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the final thing is, because it's so efficient, basically I can say anything that's organic will break down in this process mm-hmm. over some timeline. Whereas, you know, taking something to an anaerobic digester, it's a much more finicky process. You have to have a much more homogeneous waste stream going in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot easier to mess up that. The contamination is a much bigger issue on that end.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a lot of reasons that the system that I have, contamination, number one, just won't be as big of an issue, can be solved through, you know, hopefully engaging with people who are well-meaning.
Yeah.
And, if it does happen, it will be easier to deal with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Longer term, I mean, I do hope to grow this program to
mm-hmm.
to encompass. I mean, I hope that someday soon all of Madison is composting. I think that's that's a realistic goal.
Yeah.
That was a goal that we kind of had at my previous mm-hmm. place of employment in Chicago. But Chicago is huge. It's such a big
city.
It is.
Yeah.
Madison has a lot of people with the right, you know, predilections, mm-hmm. and also it's a smaller place to make that sort of
for
impact.
Sure, yeah.
And so I think it's realistic. At that stage, there'll have to be other you know systems mm-hmm. in place to ensure that there isn't contamination. But my view is that I think that we can grow a program from people who, you know, are very driven mm-hmm. to expand the circle wider and wider to it being universally adopted, and that growth will hopefully allow for systems to be put in place as that happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do we kind of adopt this plan in general, or like how can people get involved?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so people who, I mean, the most basic thing is you can sign up for the service.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a great option, but that's not the only thing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe your place of employment wants to start composting. That'd be great. I'm working with businesses too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously like, you know, bigger impact with bigger places like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, you know, I think like generally legislation has to change to kind of force this stuff to go through. And you can see on the coast there, there are laws going in place like mandating a certain level of organics recycling. Mm-hmm. And especially, I mean, usually they start with businesses and say like they have to count, like over a certain level of production, they have to compost. Mm-hmm. The issue with being able to do that in Madison is that there wasn't any place to do that. So the enforcement would be either, it'd be impossible for people to comply, or if there were exemptions, then nobody would be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that I can grow the infrastructure, and eventually we can get to the point where that's a realistic legislative agenda, because mm-hmm. there'll actually be a means of doing that. And I think kind of you have to have both sides of the coin as a legislative part, and then also the infrastructure part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And thank you so much, Harry, for being our guest host. Next week, I think we have Haley Johnson as our guest host, Old Oaks as our musical guest, and Jasmine as our guest from Perfect Imperfections. Thank you so much. This is Noemi, and that's The Sauce.